following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, August 23rd. This is Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein for another Daily Green 19 podcast, previewing today's action over at Rain Etchke Field for Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers. So let's start with kind of the league news of the day. Tom, as far as we know, we're going to practice. Some other teams around the league had to pause some things today with the kind of a flurry of positive, or I guess false positive tests, coming out of the lab in New Jersey. And at least for now, it feels like we are on pace. The Packers didn't have such an issue.
Makes me wonder, was that a lab issue? Is it really false positives? I mean, I wonder how they know that.
It was obviously NFL media owned by the league is pushing out that they were able to quickly confirm they were false positives. So there must be a check and a balance, after those initial tests.
I suppose they test them again and then go through it. Or maybe they run them through the lab again. But I don't know. Yeah, we haven't heard anything here. So,
yeah. So let's. So as we are get ready to head to Etchke Field, I do want to start with a little bit of injury news, if you will. We don't really know what's up with outside linebacker Za'Darius Smith, Tom, but he has missed. He left the first day in pads a little early. And while he has been on the field and doing leader-type things and hand-fighting type things with Mike Smith, I mean, he's not participating at all. Yes, he's a veteran. Yes, he's a pro bowler. But, I mean, he's missed 4 days of practice heading into today. So is that a concern? And if we don't see him today, they start game planning for the Vikings in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think so. I equate this to similar times during training camp when, if a guy had a groin injury or a slight hamstring injury, they were like, shut him down now. Now's the time to do it so that it's done when they get to the regular season, so it's not an issue. So I would guess that it's some kind of soft tissue thing where he's got to work through it and they do not want him aggravating it. So if it were anyone else, if it were a guy fighting for a spot, then there would be some concern that he'd miss a week. But, he was there for the conditioning as far as we know, and he did practice the first couple of days. So, I don't have any concern about him.
So the, other injury news, Davante Adams, most notably came back, practiced in pads and participated in one-on-ones team drills. So, Montrevious Adams in a boot, and I'll bring him up, Tom, before we get into what we're looking for today, largely because he had once again proved in some capacity that he should get, some early looks on the defensive line. This is out. Obviously, toes, as we know, can be very fickle injuries. I guess we know that opens up opportunities, but what does it mean for Montrevious? I mean, he had obviously a small legal issue in the offseason. He's into year four, hasn't really reached potential. I mean, where is he at, I guess, just in general in terms of either making this team or – being a contributor early in the season.
You mean Adams, right?
Montrevious Adams.
Yeah. I don't think it's a issue about making the team. I think it's an issue of, is he going to get used? Can they get anything out of him? It is possible they could cut him. You're right. But at this point, he's in the final year of his deal. It's not killing them against the cap. And if they think they can get something out of him, then it's worth keeping him around. And so I just think it means he's going to get buried on the depth chart again. He's letting Kingsley Keke jump way ahead of him. Dean Lowry is playing some pass rushing as well as I've seen him. And it's just the same old story. He's going to get buried. And unless he plays his way out of it, you know, he's just starting from a bad position again. And so I don't know. I don't think it means he won't be here, but I think it means he's going to be the same old contribution as before.
Yeah, I guess what I'm curious going forward, Tom, is how long or how serious this issue is, and if it creates a little bit of a interesting roster decision for Brian Gutekunst regarding carrying through short-term IRs, all that kind of interesting stuff as we get closer to cutdown day in less than 2 weeks. So today's practice, Tom, you know, I guess what I'm curious about is we've seen a little bit of two-minute work. It's not like I think Matt LaFleur doesn't really like no huddle. I remember last year Aaron Rodgers at the end of camp was like, kind of waiting for the no huddle stuff. And I don't know if it ever really showed up. So clearly I think we've seen the head coach prefers the rotating personnel packages that we saw on the field a year ago. But I guess where I want to go is we started this camp with LaFleur and Rodgers talking about rhythm and tempo on offense looking good and feeling good, and it's not the same as a year ago. But I don't know if that's – at least to me, it feels like that hasn't carried through in certain practices. And maybe it's because they're not stacking tons of completions, or maybe it's just the installs they're in. I'm curious about tempo and just your thoughts on do we need to see it I don't know if it's today or at all in the coming weeks. Or is this just an offense that we're going to see from a year ago where it's kind of methodical, but it's meant to create more matchup issues as opposed to saying a rhythmic issue or a tempo issue for a defense?
Well, if they have a no huddle package, which I'm sure they do, they're going to work on it at some point in camp. They have to. Now, 2 minute is pretty much that. It is no huddle. I mean, you can huddle in 2 minute if you want, but typically they don't. You know, they only put like a minute on the clock. So they get a little work that way, but until I see them devote a no huddle drive, you know, a no huddle period, McCarthy used to do that. I mean, they had numerous no huddle periods, because that's what they did. That was a big part of their offense. You emphasize what you're going to do, and Matt LaFleur, until we see them do a bunch of no huddle, we can assume that they're going to be use it at about the rate they did last year.
So I guess conceptually, where do you fall on that? Because clearly, I mean, I would think that remains the strength of who we believe will be the starting quarterback in Minneapolis. Or is that just sort of part of the give and take of those two, you know, finding, you know, a cohesion where that's just give away that sort of rhythm and fast paced type stuff, but maybe give the quarterback more options at the line of scrimmage. I feel that was a compromise we saw that was struck a year ago. So I was curious to see where that developed. And it feels like, I don't know. Tom, where I'm going is, can this quarterback, or who we think is going to be the starting quarterback in Minneapolis and for the season, find a rhythm at a slower pace with more of these moving parts, I guess.
That's what they're doing. I mean, you know, part of the reason I think they won't run as much no huddle is that they look like they're going to run the ball a lot. And I don't think you need to do no huddle to run the ball. Now, they do have those quick snaps where they get up to the line really fast, but usually they huddle on that and they snap the ball really quickly. If you're going to run the ball, that's a pace thing. And you don't necessarily need to hurry up. You're trying to, you know, grind a team down, and you want to be precise on how you're blocking, and you want to know where the defense is lining up. So I think Rodgers has to get used to that. I think that is his that's going to be a big change, I think, in this offense. I think he is going to have to accept that they're going to run the ball more, and that they might not use the tempo of a, you know, of a high powered passing game. And I also wonder, and we may never know this, but I wonder if LaFleur is going to call more plays that don't have options in them for Rodgers to audible.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. No, I'm sure the head coach is thrilled that no one's really brought that whole thing up again thus far in camp. I think we have a good understanding of what they can and can't do, I guess, around the line of scrimmage pre-snap. So, and again, this kind of bleeds into another question. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has stacked a couple of good practices together. Pete Doherty wrote about it in his insider over at PackersNews.com. And, you know, on the heels of us talking about how I felt, you know, receivers hadn't really stood out. And I think to your point, Tom, of what we just talked about, I don't know, you know, I don't know if they want him to stand out in that kind of way. I think it's Jake Kumerow putting a shoulder under the chin of Tyler Lancaster, and it's Darius Shepherd sealing off a corner. I think those are the standout plays for this team, and that's what's being discussed on film. Of course they want catches, and hey, can you make one move for a run and catch? But at least currently it feels like that's where they're at in terms of Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur saying, hey, consistency out of the receiver core, as opposed to, you know, the wow plays that I guess would have had fans kind of screaming and cheering if they were here.
Yeah, well, if they had their druthers, Marquez Valdes-Scantling would be their number two wide receiver, because, you know, he can take the top off of defense. And I thought he showed yesterday that he's improved in running routes against zone. I mean, he was wide open on a couple of nice little, not little, but I mean, plays down the field where he found gaping holes in the zone defense. And, you know, part of it is because he's driving down the field and they have to respect that deep speed, and then he's breaking it off and he's open. And I think that's what they want from him. And the consistency is, of course, for everybody, but they want consistency and they want big plays. And he's the one guy who can give them big plays. He's the one guy with that physical ability to give them big plays. So they have a lot invested in him doing well. I think they're thrilled, but they're not taking it for granted. You know, 2 days of practice doesn't mean a thing, especially for a guy who suffered a pretty big confidence loss.
Yeah, and to remind people, I mean, his first seven games of 2019, he was an impact player, and I think five catches, the last nine games, and then one snap in the NFC Championship game. So clearly, I think for a guy like Valdes-Scantling, it's not just practice, but clearly they know what he can do on film on Sundays, but it's, you know, back half of the season. I think that's something, Tom, you know, we'll be watching and the team will be watching as we go here. But now to that point, I guess, with the receivers and we in this offense, I don't know, Tom, I just in general, as we go, I feel the defense has played well. And I know that's always the conversation, right? Is the defense that good? Is the offense that bad? What's the give and take? Generally speaking, I think we talk coverage, we talk the defense a little more often. As we head into today's practice and this sort of next stretch of, I think, eight practices in 9 days, are you looking for something? Do you want to see some bigger plays on offense? I don't know if that's where they're at in their installs or not. Do you want to see, you know, at the run game, if we see more pads at Lambeau in the coming days? I don't know. What are you kind of looking for as we hit this next critical stretch of practices?
Yeah, I guess I want to see some definition. You know, a lot of times in camp, things don't become clear for a while. and I'm talking about all things, you know, who's going to kind of emerge, what's, you know, what the next step a player's going to make, how a certain part of the offense or defense is doing. We've seen a little bit of that. We've seen the running game look pretty impressive, I think. We've seen a few guys stand out, some defensive linemen, Lowry and Kingsley Keke. We've seen, you know, pretty good secondary play. But it's like you go to practice every day and you're looking for something to stand out. And we haven't seen the passing game look like it's elite or it's going to be super productive. We haven't seen the pass blocking be just dominant. It's those are the kind of things you, and then you're looking at, as much as anything, you're looking for individuals and who's going to, you know, come up and force someone. We saw it yesterday with Kamal Martin, who started to get some playing time, more playing time, at inside linebacker, because he's obviously, there's something that they like. And we could kind of see it in that Lambeau Field practice that, you know, even though there were a couple of pass plays where he got caught up in the wash, you can see how aggressive he is and that he knows the defense. I was watching him. He easily was pointing out things, trying to be kind of a leader. So that's one of the things we've seen stand out. And conversely, we've seen Oren Burks really not do anything. So those are the kind of things we're looking for.
Yeah, and I think for me, going forward here this next week, Tom, obviously we can't, you know, tweet out who's running with who. But the running back room, I thought, was interesting coming in. They are emphasizing it. And I think as runners, Tom, we're seeing everyone from Aaron Jones to Dexter Williams look like they're reading the zone a little better. If the blocking is there, you're seeing the one cut and upfield. I guess for me, I'm curious to see these pass protection, I guess, competitions, if you will. I mean, Dexter Williams and A.J. Dillon, that's where they need to work on. And the Lambeau practice was not good for those guys. Conversely, I think since, you know, they've been okay. And I think, you know, in terms of roster building and roster projection, you know, do they keep those four just again? You know, they had four running backs a year ago. Or does Dexter Williams kind of need to surpass a guy like Jamal Williams? I think we always talk about the rookie and where do you, I don't know, Jamal Williams making $2 million. He's a good guy. He's a good player to have. I'm kind of curious though, to see, you know, where the team fits on the two younger guys, I guess, as they try to construct a roster.
Yeah. I you know, this is all on Dexter Williams. He's got to beat out Jamal Williams. It's right there. I mean, Tyler Irvin is going to make the team. He's their returner. He's been really impressive out of the backfield, catching the ball out of the backfield. He's a multi-purpose guy. It's really, if Dexter Williams wants to be on the team, he's got to beat out Jamal Williams. And I honestly don't think there's enough time for him to do that. Might have been able to if there were exhibition games. But, you know, what – I don't think it serves them a purpose. Unless they see something in Dexter Williams that we don't, and that's very possible, I don't see them taking the chance of letting Jamal Williams go, because they know they can start him. They know he's a really good blocker on third downs and he knows the offense. He's been really good on screens. It's production, and he may not be dynamic, but you gotta go with what you know, especially in this short period. So that's all on Dexter Williams. He's got to really pick it up and show that he can be a dynamic runner.
Yeah, it's production versus projection. That's usually the case when it comes to this type of thing. But when you have games,
yep,
and other angry individuals trying to make plays for themselves on the other side, to, you know, protect the quarterbacks, you know, or catch passes, you know, is Dexter Williams running routes and catching the ball and all that stuff. So you're right, Tom, it's that's the hard part for Brian Gutekunst and even some of these players who I guess you'd consider bubble, you know, like how do they show out, right? When it's just kind of thudding up. But so again, as we record this, as you'll hear this, we expect we'll be down at Lambeau Field. Obviously stay tuned and we'll keep you posted if there are some issues with the Packers and their testing protocols. As of now, it seems like, you know, they've escaped some of the issues Cleveland, Chicago have had in terms of false positives and whatnot. So we will be back with you. Be sure to download the app over at Packers News through your app store or the iTunes store. And then, of course, subscribe to jsonline.com/deals, packersnews.com. We will talk to you tomorrow morning. For Tom, I am Jim. See you then.